KUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never would just want to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding.
Whoa!
Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Gnarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you'll see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. When they discover the forest, their imagination is inspired by the smell of pine, the crunch of leaves beneath their feet, the sound of birds calling out for attention. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating forest world. You are the hero in this book. This is a memory being made. This is what they will laugh about years from now. These are the roots, grounding and nourishing them.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Then look through your children's eyes and discover the magic all around you. That's discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
We might have some time to play a little game with him that we came up with.
Ooh. Hey, Greg, you want a free beer? I'll take that.
I will take that.
Roastmaster General, if you will.
I like that nickname better than Tall Potatoes.
Too bad.
I agree. Too bad.
Yeah, too bad, TP.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center. Of course, our home base of Waukesha and Madison tonight. Hello, everyone that's streaming on the app or on TuneIn or Alexa. Hello, the podcast listeners.
Standing
Hello,
outside
Jane
the window.
Manair. Hello, Greg Bob.
It's me.
So many people to say good morning to. How's everyone doing?
Good. It was a little foggy this morning.
It still is.
It's still a little foggy.
It's gray.
It's a gray winter day.
Yeah.
Although I didn't have to wear a coat today.
Neither did I.
It's going to be 50 degrees like next weekend.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's going to be 49.
Oh, I'm going to do yard work.
yard work do you still have to
do? I still have some leaves I need to be picked up.
You know, we did a story about that you should be mulching those and that it's good for your lawn as long as you chop them up.
Yep. Okay, great. how you doing, tall potatoes?
I am getting by. December 7th.
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, December 7th.
Why is it? It's because it's hump day.
It's hump day. It's hump day, Greg Bach day. And we have, as always, a great show. We're going to spend the first half of the show doing different headlines that we find interesting, and it's kicking them around. And then at 12:30, we're going to talk to Brenda Ceracone, who is the director of training for and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs.
I'm really excited.
Excited for that.
Probably going to cry.
So this is a program that we only learned about last week when we talked to Jen Dunn, who is the director of the District Attorney of Waukesha's Witness Victims Assistance Program, and their star, Pepper, which is the dog who works for the program.
Most popular employee at the DA's office.
Exactly. And is a service dog for victims who are struggling with PTSD. And she told us about the program where they got Pepper from was this Journey Together service dog training program that goes, and part of the training program goes through the Oshkosh Correctional Facility, and inmates can volunteer to work as dog trainers. And so we're going to talk to Brenda about that program and kind of the origin of that and why she chose to do this with the Oshkosh Correctional Facility. So I think that's going to be a really interesting conversation. And then at 1, we're welcoming back Milwaukee's Public Museum Planetarium Director Bob Bondur. Because tonight, last month we had the Blood Moon. Did you wake up for the blood moon, Greg?
No.
Do you know what it was, though?
With
the red?
Yeah,
the reddish?
Yeah.
The morning of the election.
Yeah, I think I slept through it.
I think I also slept through it. But tonight, the moon is going to eclipse Mars, which doesn't happen very often. So hopefully the fog clears up so people can actually see it. And then at the end of the Today Show, we're going to talk to...
We can't call it the Today Show. That's copyrighted.
Oh, gosh. Today's Show?
There you go. Thank I don't want to get sued by Al Roker.
The founder of Door County Candle is sending candles to Ukraine because they need light right now.
Oh, so nice.
She's going to join us to tell us a little bit more about how that program's
that's
going.
That's very kind of them. It's not nice that it needs to happen, but yes, okay.
Yes, yes.
All right.
All right, but to kick it off, a story that broke yesterday, and it's kind of been kicking around, and it's personal to me because of, while I am now a radio host.
Yes, you are.
I am also, despite not getting as much of my attention and energy as it should, a content creator, because how As Goes Wisconsin started was by making short videos on a little app called TikTok.
Never heard of it.
And you might have heard nationally, there are some concerns over this being a national security threat. And in Wisconsin, yesterday... our Republican leaders sent a 3-page letter to Governor Tony Evers asking him to both delete his TikTok and eliminate any state device to have TikTok on it.
Yeah.
And I just really want TikTok not to be a national security problem because I would like to keep using it. Because there's nothing in this world right now of social media. For those of us who do partake in social media, Twitter feels like a mess. Zuckerberg's a bad person.
Yeah.
Facebook's hard to even like Facebook's maneuver anymore.
Yeah.
I still use Instagram a lot, but like Instagram Reels doesn't feel as fun and organic as TikTok has felt. And I really don't want TikTok to go away, but I really... know that it has to if it is a national security threat.
But, I mean, first of all, can we also use that term Republican leaders very loosely?
Sure.
I mean, they're people who are Republicans who are in positions of power in Madison. How about that? It's more of a
they're not in Madison, though. This is Gallagher.
Oh, gotcha.
Brian Stiles. It's all the congressmen. And which makes a little bit more sense only because, you know, Gallagher wrote a... op-ed in the Washington Post about this, along with Marco Rubio, because of the different committees that they sit on. And, you know, you could probably, I think when I first saw that, I was like, oh, well, of course they do. Because the truth is, it's TikTok, similar to Twitter, it's how a lot of young people organize. I mean, it's one thing to be making fun cat videos or dancing videos or whatever, but there's a lot of people distributing information that can be seen because of the way the algorithm works on TikTok. I was just saying this to you, you know, at any given point, we don't really know how, with the radio show, how many people are also listening? Because we don't, you know, like on airwaves on this many different stations, and it's hard to get together versus the immediate dopamine kick for me when I've done videos on TikTok to see how many people have seen it. Like, it is cool to see that kind of reward for you put work into something and see how many people it gets shared with and all these different like analytics you can see from it. And there's nothing else that I really feel like has replaced that. And so what I was going to say is about the way that young people have used TikTok to organize. I think with Marco Rubio and Mark Gallagher, when I first saw that they wrote this op-ed, I was like, it's easy to like strum it up to like partisanship. And young people in this last election voted, even though only 27% of 18 to 29 year olds voted, it still was enough to make a dent in the election and make a difference. And so, of course, you know, it's easy to be like, oh, well, maybe they don't want us to use TikTok because it's a way that people are organizing and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, then the head of the FBI also testified in front of Congress saying it could be. And I think that's the thing. It could be. There is no proof as of right now that China is using TikTok to spy on us.
Okay. So to all of that, I say a couple of things. One,
if they're so bent out of shape about TikTok, where were they a couple of years ago with Facebook? Why aren't they trying to get Facebook?
Because Facebook is a U.S.-owned company.
I understand
that. And that's what this comes down
to. But why aren't we, if there was talk about collusion, if there was talk about Russians hacking into the system to try to influence our election, why aren't we saying, get rid of Facebook then? I don't care if it's an American company. If they're trying to supersede the forms of government and democracy, why aren't they getting all up in their britches about it?
Well, they did. I mean, Zuckerberg had to testify. He did,
but at no point are these quote unquote leaders writing letters saying we need to get rid of Facebook either. They're going after TikTok now. And the response from the Evers camp regarding it to me shows just how easily led they are about it. Like the FBI said, it could be. All right, it could be. That's fine. Let's take precautions. Let's keep vigilant. Let's make sure it's good. The person in charge of TikTok in the United States says we do not share that information with the Chinese government. We never have and we never will. So it is overreaction, as usual, from the Republicans, making it the story of the moment because it's an easy to digest story to fearmonger people. Whereas the Evers campaign's like, well, if you knew anything, one, you would have not put this out in a press release or to be leaked and to be a story. You would have just called us. Also, they said, like, yeah, he doesn't have his own TikTok. Like he doesn't have his own TikTok account. So if you knew anything, you'd know that he doesn't. The campaign has one. It's
had one.
And so to me, this is just classic Republican trying to blow up not a non-story, something to be concerned about, as I said, but not something that is, oh my God, we are in trouble right now. Because that little group of guys there, they don't care. They don't care. Ask Glenn Grossman what he thinks about women. He doesn't care. And Scott Fitzgerald, he was handed his seat. Oh my God, I'm getting so angry right now.
You're really fired up about this.
I'm looking at this group of five men right now, and I'm just like, every single one of you have, as one point had to said, I'm just trying to be a nice guy here. They've all said that.
Have you ever said that?
You know, it's interesting you say that. In the age of the quote unquote nice guy, I know that I've thought, like, I never got, because it was pre-internet for me. Like, I was raised to be a nice guy, and I always thought being a nice guy would be rewarded with love. Didn't happen a lot. I didn't get on the internet and, like, blame women. I got sad, and I got like, why don't they like me? I'm nice to them. Well, at some point, someone had to put their hand on my shoulder and be like, hey, you're just not their type. It's okay. Someday you'll find someone. It's cool. But I never got where it's at now, where men will message women out of the blue, be like, hey, I want to take you out. They're like, no, thank you. And then they say something really horrible. I never would ever hit that point.
Okay.
I was a sad guy. I wasn't a nice guy. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome to the show. That took a turn as far as the nice guy versus kind guy versus good person. Yeah. But I do want to stick around. I want to bring us back.
Yeah.
And stay on the TikTok train. And if you have thoughts on this, if you are attached to this app in the way that I am, or if you're like, good riddance, we should get rid of it because social media is killing our brains. That's a totally fair take to have as well. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96.
Party.
We would love hearing from you. And so we will continue talking about the Clock app and its pending dangers with the Communist Party of China when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us.
Anybody? Mike. Huh? What day is it, Mike? Huh? Woo-hoo! Mike. Huh? What day is it, Mike? Huh? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
It's hump day.
Hump day! Uh-oh. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Uh-oh. Mike. What day is it, Mike?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays. the city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Overcast overnight with lows around 26. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 37. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance for snow. Lows dip down to about 32. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are in the 11 o'clock hour on Wednesday, December 7th.
Were you a Backstreet Boy person or an NSYNC person?
Neither.
Oh, I'm leaving. Goodbye. Learn to make a choice, lady.
I think I'm a bigger fan of all of that music now because of the nostalgia of it.
Yeah.
I was the kid who, as Jane unlocked this memory for me last week, in asking who like my most influential music artist was.
Yeah.
Because it was after
Christine McVie.
Yes.
Yes.
So we were
talking about
that.
Yeah.
And can you guess if you had to imagine what I was like in high school?
Stephen Sondheim.
I mean, that's a good guess. For being honest, it is, and it's not untrue. In the Woods is by far one of my favorite musicals of all time.
But if we're talking like mainstream artists,
wasn't a mainstream artist.
Oh my God, Chuck Mangione.
I don't even know what that is.
Jane, get me out of here.
Well, I'll pull some of that for her later.
Okay, cool.
Ani DiFranco.
Oh my God.
Doesn't that fit though?
No, honestly, I don't know why. I think I said that. I did the oh my God to that was a joke. That was because here's the thing: is one of my most influential growing up, my like late teens, 20s, and I've seen this person 4 times in concert. Tori Amos.
Really?
I love Tori Amos.
Yeah. See, it's like that Lilith. Yeah. I don't know if Ani DiFranco ever performed at Lilith Fair.
I think she did.
But there was that dominant like 90s. Indie woman artist phase.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think Ani DiFranco is still performing. I don't know how
Absolutely,
much new
she
music,
is.
But that like Both Hands and 32 Flavors and that whole.
I mean, you put on Little Earthquakes or Under the Pink and I'm a happy person.
Yeah. And so, but I hadn't thought about her in so long and then it just popped up. It's like, oh yeah, I listened to a lot of Ani DiFranco.
I fell into a rabbit hole of Fiona Apple music videos on YouTube. Criminal is the sexiest music video that's ever been created.
I agree.
And oh my gosh. Yeah. I just remember like when she first came out, you're like, who is this little sprite of knowledge? Oh my God. It's Fiona Apple. Also, I've seen her twice in concert.
Well, there,
so,
you go.
There you go.
All right. Well, coming back, I feel like today's going to be a lot of raining in.
Heck yeah.
This might as well be dueling tangents with Luke and Brian because I feel like we're going to be talking about a lot of different things.
Fine.
Which is fine. We're going to have fun this Wednesday.
So
we're talking about the Clock app, aka TikTok, and the difference between this app and if it is actually a national security threat, because unlike the other dominant social media companies, the parent company is owned by China.
Yeah.
And the while there is, as far as any testimony in front of Congress, that testimony has said there is no sharing of data, but the threat being, or the potential threat being, that it could.
Yes.
And so the news of this week, at least as it relates to Wisconsin, is our Republican congressman sent a 3-page letter that could have been a phone call, requesting that Tony Evers take the same lead as Kristi Noem did, governor of which Dakota?
South Dakota.
South Dakota.
And I have many opinions on her.
I'm sure you do. But she made an executive order that did ban TikTok on any state device.
Yeah.
And I don't, and I guess, I don't think that that's the, if it's a state device, it's one thing if it bans it for like us as consumers.
Yeah.
But I think on state devices, I have more understanding of until there is, because it, the company could be sold. I mean, that's basically what Trump tried to do back in 2020 is force the sale of the company, which then could ruin the app because bad leadership, bad foresight. Like,
and look how that went too. What a great president he was. Man, I miss
him. But you made an interesting point. It's like, what are the difference between, because all these apps take so much of our data.
Yeah. I mean,
and could be used in subversive ways.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention just like, I didn't want to say too much about it off the air, but the amount of times I see elected officials on their phones tweeting during speeches, that is totally disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
You're not listening to the speech. Because you get the speech ahead of time. You can read the speech and you can make your points. You're not listening. I don't think maybe just no social media apps at all on elected officials. And if say like, you know, you've got a PR person, you've got a comms person, they have to have it. They are given special dispensation. I don't know, but like, if we're going to ban one, then ban them all then, because they all can take data. I mean, if it's one thing we've seen now with the takeover of Twitter by Elon
Musk,
I like that. Elon Musk is that he has little concern of how safe it really is,
mm-hmm.
both for the user and probably for the, he wants it to be as untethered as possible. So who knows where Twitter will end up going now that Musky is running it.
Musky. Janie, do you have a point?
I just think that when they go into chambers, I think they should have to turn in their phones like kids do when they go to class.
Or when you have to go see Dave Chappelle in concert.
Yeah. I just think they should, you know, their aide can keep it and keep track of it. But I agree with Greg when to see them sitting there when someone else is giving floor comments and they're scrolling. You think they're Twittering. I think they're shopping. Yeah. And
it probably depends on who it is.
Yeah. Sometimes they're looking
at Glenn Grothman's definitely shopping.
Yeah.
No, he strikes me as a guy who goes, how do I Amazon?
He strikes me as someone who is trying to search for something and then accidentally tweets. Yeah. Tweets his own name.
Glenn Grothman just tweeted Emma.
All right. Well, I think we will probably move on from this story and get to some of the other headlines when we come back.
To sum it all up, these five people are all tool bags. Moving on.
All right. When we come back, we finally know what the Senate looks like. Raphael Warnock wins Georgia. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress, But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it.
We did. Well, we're almost
done. We almost did it. We're still going to get through today. But we did it. We lived to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
On the Civic Media Network. Just a reminder that if you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to this show as a podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts. And you can always join the conversation at 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. You know, I don't do that when you're not here.
Oh,
I don't hand it over to Jane to say party. It's not the same.
It's not the same, Greg.
Stop it. I'm spoken for. Okay.
Okay. Well, this is not necessarily Wisconsin news.
But it's important news.
And as of last night, it looked like by the time
As of right now, it's I think 99% of the vote has been counted. But Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock
is incumbent,
is projected to have won the reelection in the runoff.
Yep.
In Georgia against Herschel Walker, vampire werewolf slayer.
I have a feeling that if he saw vampires and or werewolves, he'd be like, that's weird, and runs away.
So now it is a 51-seat majority in the Senate, and that is a good thing.
It's a good thing. One thing I just want to say that I think is very important, that Raphael Warnock won re-election by almost 3 points. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. In Georgia, on a runoff, not a full term. I mean, like, to me, with everything the Republicans were doing to him, trying to, and statewide and federal, to shorten voting time, to limit access, the fact that people came out, I mean, by the time that in-person voting was happening the day of yesterday, 2 million people already cast ballots.
I know.
And he
That's
won
what
by...
we were talking about yesterday, a little bit of like how turnout was insane.
Yep.
You'd think that the exhaustion of another month added on to the election cycle in Georgia, because I'm sure Georgia feels like how it felt like in Wisconsin with the political ads. And because because of the extra month, it was the most expensive midterm election. $400 million was spent in total by both candidates in Georgia.
I mean, that's just...
But 3.5 million people voted again in the runoff.
Yeah, it was, and it was wonderful. And it's three points. That's in Georgia for this election. That's a deciding vote. That's not one of the things they were talking about on MSNBC last night, is that in 6 years' time, when Raphael Warnock has to win again, this lead he got, unless something goes horrible, if he spends the next 6 years being a great legislator, doing his job, doing all the things he needs to do, when he goes to run for re-election in 2028, good God, in 2028, he's going to, there's no guarantee he'll win, but it's most likely he will win with a comfortable margin, because 3 points in a runoff is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was just wonderful to watch, and I'm so happy. And I'm terrified that Joe Manchin's going to wake up on Monday and go, well, you know what? I decided I'm a Republican now. I'm just going to switch parties. Because, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. And Kyrsten Sinema, she, like, that's the question
people would ask. When is she up for re-election? In 24?
I think 24.
It'll be interesting to see what happens there, if the people of Arizona like her.
Well, they've been running stories now about the effectiveness and the power of Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. And though the Republicans don't have to kowtow to them as much as they would have to anymore, they still have to get their votes for bigger ticket items. That doesn't mean that he can't still be a pain in their butts, and Kyrsten Sinema the same. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I'm not even joking. I'm really nervous that Joe Manchin's going to switch parties. If he does, that's bad.
I mean, does he have to switch parties, or could he just vote the way that he wants? I mean, because technically Bernie Sanders isn't a Democrat,
but
he just votes the way that he wants to vote.
But if Joe Manchin votes the way he wants to vote, it's still, I mean, I think that it's more of a signal like Senator John Kennedy, he switched parties in 2007. That's a big deal. Like, to just switch parties all of a sudden. So, I mean, would it be the end of the world? No, but it would definitely be a knife.
Yeah. So I think one of my biggest takeaways, I feel like I missed the window of, I was on vacation, the window of like analysis of what happened in the election, and people were kind of like, all right, let's start talking about other things. But in my own summary of what I feel like across the country happened is, in general, voters are not as simplistic as elections treat them.
Mm-mm.
And like so many split ticket voters across in this state, in other states, and as far as people being more complex in the ways that they want to vote. And I think the idea that you could put up someone as bad of a candidate, and I hate the fact that people are comparing Herschel Walker to Fetterman, because Fetterman has an entire history of public service, and he happened to have a stroke right before while he was running, versus Herschel Walker, whose only accomplishment is that he was a very good football player. Like, these are not the same people. And This is a quote from Bryce Berry, who's the president of Georgia's Young Democrats chapter. And he said, Republicans seem to have thought they could put up Herschel Walker and confuse black folks. We are not confused.
Yeah.
And I think that is obviously just in that case. But I think in general, this idea that you can run bad candidates, and he got damn close, right? Like, this is, I mean, it is as bad of a candidate as he was. The fact that it went to a runoff, the fact that it was still 49% of people who voted for him. But I think my takeaway is, like, treating groups of people as monoliths and what you think that they're going to appeal to instead of running good candidates is the takeaway. I don't know.
That speaks to the laziness and the racism and just plain bigotry within the Republican Party. Now, everyone listening who's like, what the liberals, and we can talk about them later, but I want to talk about the Republicans right now. So this is the third election in a row they've lost something big. And every time they do, they say the same thing. We need to go back and look at ourselves. We need to go back and start from the beginning. We need to start over. We need to lay a new ground. They say it every time, and they don't ever do it. Every single time, they get worse and worse, and they say, I don't know. What do you mean you ran a man with CTE to be a senator, and he lost, thank God. But what did you expect to happen?
Well, I think that's what's so funny, because I saw this last night. Tomi Lahren, you know, blonde, hot, conservative pundit.
She's blonde, she's a conservative.
She tweeted, we've got to get better. There's no reason we should be losing, and there's no reason these races should be this tight. We are running against radicals and communists. We are losing winnable races. Back to the drawing board, GOP. Which is true. It is. I mean, not the radicals and communists part, but it's like, then go do it. Like, look at the results that you're getting, and maybe your radicals aren't serving you as well as you thought they would.
They're not rad enough. But the thing is, like, that tweet speaks to, there's a subtext within there that she's saying Georgia should be ours. Georgia doesn't belong to you. Mm. Georgia belongs to the people. And the people have now spoken over and over again that they want qualified leaders in office. And say what you will about Brian Kemp. He's a Republican. He has tried to limit voting, and that's a terrible thing. But he also didn't kowtow to Donald Trump. So the people of Georgia said, we want qualified people that we can identify with leading in our state. Her tweet speaks volumes to the racism inside the Republican Party, saying that, well, that's Georgia. That's the South. That's white people. Those are our people. They should be. And everyone else can just come along because we make the rules. No, you don't get to make the rules. You screwed up over and over and over again. And you keep on saying the same thing over and over and over. I don't know what happened. You ran crappy candidates. Get better ones. Also, Democrats, are you listening? Get better candidates as well.
Well, I think that goes to also the fact that, like, we think about, has there been any news of a Democratic candidate for Alberta Darling's seat?
Not yet.
I mean, that,
you know, and so it's, but also it goes back to, like, who wants to run?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to run.
They'll probably do the same thing that they did in the first, in Racine, in the first district, which was when I lived there and I worked closely with the Democratic Party of Racine County. It was the same thing every time for every 2 years. We would just run a nothing candidate who wouldn't knock doors, who wouldn't make calls, who wouldn't fundraise. But we needed someone on the ballot, and they would always get 35% of the vote because we always knew that 35% of the vote doesn't want Paul Ryan. And then what happens when they get a somewhat viable candidate in Randy Bryce? Because it was run poorly, and he wasn't the best candidate. Sorry out there, Democrats who are listening. He wasn't a great candidate. We need better candidates. Republicans need better candidates. So it's very, very, I mean, I feel like both parties have a lot of soul searching to do, especially coming up. I mean, it seems like Joe Biden is going to run because there's not a single Democrat out there who said they're going to run.
Mm-hmm. Well, who would want to challenge? I mean, if he is going to run.
Yeah.
I mean, the names, it's interesting because Raphael Warnock's name has been thrown out because as far as you think about people who are winning, the leaders who are winning in swing states, because Gretchen Whitmer's been thrown, but her name was thrown out there because she won as handedly as DeSantis did in Florida. Yeah. And so as far as someone who is winning in a swing state.
Yeah.
And And I think don't sleep on her. But again, if Joe Biden, because it's interesting talking to people who are actual, you know, the power of incumbency, no matter how old the candidate is that strategy wise, there's an argument to be made that with Joe Biden, despite how old he is, the pure power of being the incumbent is puts him a leg up than any other candidate.
Yeah. And I think the general belief of most Democrats now are like, we voted for Biden because we had no choice. There was no, I mean, we're not voting for Trump, but we're not voting independent. The first like year and 8 months were pretty rocky. And then he came out with all this legislation before the midterms and he seemed to be running. And then really that the midterms were a statement on Joe Biden as a president and how he influenced the voters of the United States to vote the way they did. But, you know, this idea that like he's going to be if he wins and he gets the next 4 years after that. I mean, the next 6 years, let's talk about that. He'll be in his late 80s. And I do think that is too old to be president of the biggest superpower on earth.
And maybe I think it's too old to do. Really, Chuck Grassley.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's just our like
Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah. Like, it's just the octogenarians. It's retire. Yeah. Go sit on a beach.
You're all millionaires. You've earned it. You're all millionaires. You all have the same power. You can write your books, go on the TVs. You can do all your things. You can still be like, yeah, it has to be an addiction.
Of course it is.
It has to be an addiction. You know, I mean, it brings up the question like, you know, like personally, I feel like Congress members should be 4 years with a term limit of like 3 or 4. Senators should get 6 years, 3 terms, then you're done. You shouldn't be able to serve 50 years in the Senate.
I agree.
Just no, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Ted Kennedy. I don't care if you're Chuck Grassley. After you get 20 years or less, between 16 and 20, well, what's it, 4, 8, 12. You get 12 to 16 years, then you're out. Goodbye.
You know, the one thing I am hearing from some Republicans this morning, though, is, gee, maybe we made a mistake by telling people not to vote early.
Well, that's the other thing, too. They've demonized voting.
They've demonized making voting more accessible and easier, which affects everyone equally.
I wonder how many of these early voting laws that were passed after 2020 are going to get repealed or tooled to a new language. But yeah, I mean, it's just let them vote and people are going to vote. It's just so frustrating. I'm honestly tired of listening to Republicans do that whole, like, I don't know what happened. We got to do soul searching. We got to look at our part. No. Yeah. You've needed to for a while. You've needed to for a while.
And on that note, we're going to take another break. Stick with
us. There's no break from the rage.
What do you think? 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We will be right back.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets law and order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day.
Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lowest dip down to about 26 overnight under overcast skies, northeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 37. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 32. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. So Greg Bach is here. You look like you were about to say something.
I just feel like all the music Jane's been playing so far is just, I feel like I'm walking down the main thoroughfare of State Fair. Like, it's just been like, yeah. George,
playing
like
the hits.
Yeah, playing those hits, baby. I want to get myself a corn on the cob and a stick, dumped in chocolate.
Doing some rock and roll.
Love that rock and roll music.
What was that? A corn on the cob on a stick dipped in chocolate?
Yep.
Would you eat that?
Yep.
Corn dipped in chocolate. I don't know if I'm sold on that.
Corn, take it a step further. Corn salted with a fine sea salt, then dipped in chocolate. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
I mean, in theory, that feels like it is something that should work because if you think of like chocolate covered popcorn, it's like the mushiness though. I think there needs to, I'm not sold.
Chocolate's mushy.
I know, but there's too much mushy because cooked like corn on the cob.
It should be crunchy.
Yeah, so that's why I don't think it would work.
Popcorn's mushy. I feel like I've won.
Fine. Speaking of winning, good segue. Good setup for this segue. Speaking of someone who I think was expecting to win, but now has a challenger, Kevin McCarthy. Who is the current House Minority Leader.
And no relation to Jenny.
Jenny McCarthy.
There it is. Wow.
I haven't thought of her in a while. I think it's been talked about since the narrow win of Republicans taking over the House or taking back the House. I think that the assumption for a while has been Kevin McCarthy would become Speaker, but because it's such a narrow majority that they have, he needs everyone to get on board. And already, Representative Matt Gaetz in Florida, Bob Good in Virginia, Ralph Norman in South Carolina, Matt Rosendale in Montana have all said they will vote for an alternative candidate. And now there is an alternative candidate, Andy Biggs. I know nothing about him, but he has announced that he is running against Kevin McCarthy for Speaker of the House. And
he's another Gates.
Is he? Yeah. He's like Gates.
Okay. He's in that group. He'll
fit
right.
His forehead as tall?
Not well. No
his
one.
Hair is tall?
No one has a forehead as big as Matt Gaetz. But Andy will fit right in with that group. And can I just say, considering that Kevin McCarthy sold all of his ethics and any shred of integrity that he had trying to become Speaker, this just fills me with delight.
I mean, I agree. There's nothing I love better than watching Republicans tear each other apart from the inside.
Yeah, and well, it's also because, especially in comparison to how seamlessly Hakeem Jeffries was almost unanimously like lined up behind after Nancy Pelosi said, I'm stepping down from leadership positions. And I think that's a testament to whether you like her or not.
Yeah.
You know, I know that we have conservatives and Republicans who listen to this show. So I understand people's frustration with her. I have frustrations with her of how rich she has gotten as far as and actively not wanting to support bills that would keep people in Congress from voting on bills.
Insider trading?
Still, yeah. Yes, exactly. Like making laws that it can affect the market and then subsequently doing very well in the stock market. And so she is not without deserving criticism. But she did a very good job of keeping, like, getting people in line. And I think the legacy of that shows in how everyone got behind Hakeem Jeffries. I actually was listening to something the other day as far as someone pointing out the fact that Democrats, I think they're constantly pointing to the squad. But really, in reality, the squad, I mean, they get a lot of press.
Yeah.
But I don't really think they have that much power.
I mean,
like, I don't think that they're pulling people to the left so much as they get in line more with what the party's doing than they're
just younger, diverse voices.
Yeah. And they're outspoken for sure. And they're good at social media and everything. But I, you know, the scapegoat, or like the pointedness of them being in all these political ads as the radical communists, as Tomi Lahren said, I don't really think that it seems like they end up having that much sway.
No, they just...
And they get in line more often than not.
Yeah. I think they look... I mean, I don't know how to say it. That you like what you're saying. The social media presence is really great. They're all like younger people, very willing to speak their truth to power, whether it's within their party or outside the party. I think that's very important. But at the end of the day, they know how they need to work within the constructs of their job, and that's going to, I mean, that's going to lead them to higher places of leadership down the road if they so want that. But
so what happens though? Like if McCarthy can't get 218 votes.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
Greco-Roman wrestling. Throw him into a ring. Oil him up. Let him have at it. See what happens there. Just. Yes, Jane. Yes,
no,
Jane.
That's no, what's... Our country has gone through enough trauma. Yeah. I couldn't. No.
Just put him in sumo wrestling diapers and make him grease him up.
Throw Lindsey Graham in there. I saw him doing push-ups the other day, and I was quite impressed.
Wait, really?
Yeah, he was doing push-ups on TV.
What, like one of the Sunday shows?
I don't think it was a Sunday show. I think he was doing it with Herschel Walker. He was like campaigning with Herschel Walker, and then all of a sudden I just saw him get down and doing a fair amount of push-ups. I was rather impressed because I
can't do that many push-ups.
I would do like
how many push-ups can you do?
I could probably do three.
All right.
I'll do three today.
We'll do it at the commercial break. I'll film you doing your three push-ups. Maybe that'll be a TikTok that will go viral.
There you go. Sell that to the Chinese.
As long as we still have it.
But like, I think that, you know, I don't know what will happen. I'm sure they'll have to probably like start over. It'll probably just be a start over, and then they have to whip up their votes again and go from the beginning. But this is hugely telling about the Republican Party once again. Especially like, and the thing is, like, people, I have friends who are like, oh, I love seeing Matt Gaetz out there. No, I don't love seeing Matt Gaetz do anything, but I want to see him go to jail. But the, like, it's just fun to watch them do this to each other when 6 months ago they were all buddy buddies. And at the end of the day, they kind of all stand for the same thing. I mean, Kevin McCarthy, whether he stood for it at the beginning or not, he went to Mar-a-Lago, kissed the ring, took pictures, defended Trump. That's what Matt Gaetz does too. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not much different.
Yeah.
It's like watching brothers fight and completely uninteresting, too.
Did we just become best friends?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, all right. Well, we got to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, should you be able to film your neighbors?
I feel like this question is a trap.
We'll find out. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.